The views and opinions expressed in this episode are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Gwen and Mercy Academy High School, Sisters of Mercy, or any related affiliate.
Welcome back to the Monarch Impact Podcast. My name is Angelina Splendido, and I'm a current senior at Gwened.
And I'm Erin Remo Clements, a member of the class of 2012 and Gwened's Director of Alumni Engagement.
Joining us today is Cindy Conaway, a member of the class of 1971 at Gwened Mercy Academy. While at Gwened, she served on the student council and was involved with the field hockey team. She received her undergraduate degree in biology at Chestnut Hill College and continued to play field hockey, rising to captain in her senior year. After graduating, she found her calling back at her alma mater and taught at Gwened for 4.5 decades. During this time, she taught science courses, such as honors biology and physics, and developed courses such as zoology. She was also involved with critical school initiatives, such as the renovations of school labs, and worked on the mission statement revision committee. She also coached field hockey and varsity softball outside of the classroom. She was awarded a certificate from the Societies of Plastic Engineers, the Philadelphia College of Textiles and Science Outstanding Educator Award, and the Monco Chamber of Commerce Outstanding Educator Award. She also won the Margaret Byrne Barger Class of 35 Distinguished Alumni Award for service to the school in 2012. Welcome, Mrs. Conaway.
At Gwened, you were involved with the Student Council and Glee Club. What skills did you acquire or grow from these activities?
Well, I would love to say that leadership was one of the best qualities I gained as being part of Student Council. It helped me be aware of and learn how to initiate contact with teachers, moderators, and administrators, to be a liaison between students and these people. And it helped bring greater understanding for both groups so that the community itself grew better. And in Glee Club, it was pure joy. You'd learn to try new things, to develop new skills, and it was often surprising and amazing as to what we could accomplish in those venues. But whether it was world affairs or ministry or French club, opportunities taught me much more about how other people live, and it gave me great insight to this great big world we have.
And those experiences must have really shaped how you interacted with the world around you even after high school. But also on the sports team, you played field hockey, and you were named Defensive Player of the Year. How did your time on a sports team also shape your high school experience?
I'll tell you what, I love playing field hockey. It was a new sport for me. I learned it in ninth grade, and each challenge, each strategy learned made playing more fun and more exciting. I had teammates who became friends, and no matter what grade you were, we grew stronger together.
Your field hockey playing was really fun, and you even continued playing into college at Chestnut Hill College, and you were named captain your senior year. In this leadership role, did you gain any valuable insight, whether it be on leadership, collaboration, or something else?
Sure. At Chestnut Hill College, captain of the team, and even throughout my 4 years, I was amazed at how older players looked at younger players as equals. I think that's a big difference from high school. This was such an important part, respecting each player, listening to new ideas, challenging each other, congratulating each other. It was a true collaboration of strengths, of mindsets, and determination to become better.
Of course. And because you played sports in college, I'm sure you connected with many people right off the bat. But how was your overall transition to college? And do you have any fun anecdotes from your college years?
Transition to college was exciting. And I have to say, Gwened Mercy Academy played a huge part in preparing me really well for all my courses. As a biology major, I had 3-hour labs for bio and chemistry, which took a long time working through lab reports and working together. But we had a bio major study fun group, and as well as working diligently, we found time to go to lunch and parties and have a lot of fun. We would go down to different colleges, so Chestnut Hill's little, but we would go down into the city and go into Penn and go to parties there. We always had good things to do.
That's great. And so you actually, prior to teaching science and getting into the sciences, you considered teaching French. Can you tell us a little bit about how you decided to transition from one to the other and what made you decide to do that?
Sure. My mom was my first inspiration. She was a French teacher, and I loved the language, and I loved learning from her as well as my high school teacher. But in senior year, I took an advanced biology course and equine it here, and it triggered another inspiration. I could see that science held amazing keys to understanding life, the environment, and especially human life. Each day, I was intrigued by possibilities, and I love possibilities. So that really turned me to biology.
So you also had a really wonderful, fulfilling, long career coming back to Gwynedd. I believe you came back right after college, is that correct?
Yes.
And then how many years were you here as a full-time teacher?
44.
44 years. That's amazing. And I know I have fond memories of having you for zoology. We were just talking earlier about, I remember having first period zoology senior year. But can you tell us a little bit about what motivated you to pursue teaching and, you know, what kept you, I mean, 44 years is a really fantastic full career. What kept you going through all that?
Well, I'll tell you, when I was in college, I thought about scientific research. I love the idea of lab research. I love the idea of working in a lab. And I could have followed that path, but I started to realize how much I enjoyed working with children. Like, for instance, I babysat throughout my teen years. I coached softball in the township, and I actually directed a sports summer day camp, music camp, art camp. And I just realized how much I liked working with children and seeing how excited they got with all the different activities and things they could learn, and as well working with the other teachers to create these experiences. So to this day, the best reward I have is to see the light shine from a student who gets it. Difficult words, concepts, applications. If I can help someone understand something better, feel better about learning, I think the world is much more enriched.
That's fantastic.
You also mentioned coaching field hockey and softball. What inspired you to return to sports? And has this coaching experience made an impact on your interactions with students in the classroom?
The best part of coaching beyond the sport itself was having the opportunity to see a different side of each individual. What makes them happy? How do they face challenges or difficulties on the field or on the court? In a dynamic situation, how do they approach conflict or resolution? And this offered me such a good perspective on how to engage them in learning in the classroom. Because once you see how a student moves in a certain direction or in a certain way in response to a problem or an excited experience, and then we would really have a better activity in the classroom.
In addition to all the amazing things you did outside the classroom, you also taught biology, physics, and as I mentioned, I took zoology with you, which is funny. It's anytime I mention to students that we had a zoology course, they can't believe it. And they're like, what does that even mean? And I'm like, I remember a fantastic coloring book that taught me the different organs of different animals and things. But can you tell us a little bit about that course?
Oh, zoology was actually a student survey winner when the science department was trying to decide new electives for the students. And it was very exciting because I always loved zoology, and I was pretty sure the students thought we'd be studying lions and tigers and bears, oh my, like the large animals. But zoology encompasses microscopic animals like amoeba and paramecia, through sponges and jellyfish and parasitic worms like tapeworms and heartworm and free-living worms like earthworms. From even these groups, we learned a tremendous amount about the environment and how the environment can really change or cause changes amongst the animal life and even maybe death or extinction. So we learned also about parasites and how they can hurt organs in your body or even in your pets' bodies. How many people have dogs or cats that they give heartworm pills to every month? And we started to really see a connection between not just the animals themselves, but all the interactions the animals have with other organisms, okay, other plants and people and how it affects us. So from there, we learned about shellfish and mollusks, and we created wreaths and mobiles with the shells, and we learned the different types of shells that people love to decorate with throughout their homes. We studied arthropods like lobster, shrimp, crab, insects, spiders, and we had all sorts of responses to insects and spiders, of course, right? But the best way to understand mollusks and arthropods like lobster, shrimp, crab is to eat them. So one of the major activities for zoology was a zoology luncheon that we would have in the spring after we studied these animals. And we enjoyed and celebrated them in our lives by eating them. We actually borrowed the cafeteria and had a nice preparation for the foods. And I'll tell you, even the teachers loved this luncheon, as well as anybody who took home goodies to their parents. It was really fun. So when you talk about zoology, we did finish up the year with starfish, and then fish, amphibians, reptiles, birds, and we got to those big animals, the mammals. But that meant then that we could have projects like going to an aquarium or bird sanctuary or zoo. And there was always something we could do to engage the students and help them understand more about each of these animals. And I think one of the most important things that we learned in zoology was that no matter what animal you're talking about, whether it's an amoeba, a microscopic one-celled organism, or a human, they have similar systems. They all have to take in oxygen and give off carbon dioxide and take in nutrients and give off waste. And everything we studied, we learned the amazingly different facets of how each animal can do this. And the diversity of those abilities gives every organism a chance to find a niche in this very complex world. And we did have an amazing coloring book.
That was always the best homework.
That's wonderful. I'm sure that your students had like a wonderful experience, and I think it's wonderful to just learn about the world around you and how you interact with it. Definitely changes depending on like the information you have. And I'm sure you made such an impact on your students, and you also made an impact on the school because you were involved with renovations of the science labs. So what was your main goal of this project, and what changes did you ultimately make?
Okay. In renovating science labs, I mean, I think the goal is always to make the lab a scientific workspace. That's the important thing. You want to provide space and tables and plumbing and equipment that can bring the science to life. You have technology, hardware, software applications, and that all of these things should provide for more exact measurements, for more advanced types of reactions and processes. We even have a gene replication machine here. We had a genetics class here where they used, even though it might have been strawberries, they replicated the DNA of the strawberries. Yeah, so labs have to provide that area for scientific skills to be developed, that the most important skills that the students can take with them wherever they go can be utilized. So when you try to renovate, you're trying to develop the skills that will make data meaningful, and analysis, which is such a great thinking skill, more reliable. Okay, science has to be reliable.
The labs we hear that I use every day, really, I feel like we have those tools, we have the ability to get more accurate information, especially with technology nowadays.
Exactly. Great.
So it's very wonderful that you kind of propelled that into motion.
Oh, thank you.
Outside of Gwynedd, you've also been awarded a certificate from the Society of Plastic Engineers. Can you tell us about the award and your work in it?
Sure. The Society of Plastic Engineers hosted contests that brought the students to an awareness of the many valuable aspects of plastics in our lives and in every industry. One time, for instance, a physics student won an essay contest written about edible plastic clothing and how she could survive in the wild if she was ever lost for a time. It was quite clever. She really did a great job, and she won a money award for that. Drexel University always had materials contests or conferences where they use not just like cloth materials, but we're talking metals and materials that are used in industry. And then the students had a chance to understand how they would use metals in those industries. And Janssen laboratories down the street here, just recently held bioengineering workshops for our students for honors biology and physics and the higher level science classes. We've been to a couple different labs where the corporations, if you're allowed, allow the students to come in and observe and see the valuable work that they do, whether it's pharmaceuticals or whatever the work might be. But these opportunities gave the students the idea of what they could actually do with their sciences in the world.
That's fantastic. And so you had such a wonderful long career here at Gwinnett. A couple of years ago, you did retire. And I know that, you know, you get to spend more time with your grandchildren, your family, and I know you're a very family-oriented person. Can you tell us a little bit about how you balanced your work life with your home life over the years, and was that challenging in all of your work? You did so much here, you know, how did you balance that?
Yes, I mean, first off, it was very difficult to even decide to come back to work after having a child, and but I did have some support from the family, so I was able to come back to work. And I think it's, first off, difficult for any mom to balance working and having children. The needs of the family, you want them to come first. The needs of your job, though, might interfere with that. So I was always grateful for teaching because of vacation time. Mm-hmm. You know, Christmas vacations are great, Easter vacations. These are times when you want to spend time with your family. And summer vacations were like, nice. So it really offered so many opportunities. And I wasn't traveling. Like I have some friends who traveled with work, which took them away from their families. So I had a place where I could be and get home and be able to be spending more time with my family. There were times, I have to say, where I would just wait for the whole household to go to sleep. and then I'd be working for a couple hours, like after midnight. And it was like, that's when I could get things done. So you make it work, though. If you love what you do, you try to really work it.
Throughout this interview, I've seen many values, that you're very determined, that you're very passionate about what you do. And throughout all of your experiences, your achievements, what would you say is one word that could describe you and why?
Thank you. I have to say my husband looked over these questions. He had a few comments too, but for this one, he said, I'd have to say caring, you know, and then I said, oh, I was thinking dedicated. And I guess when you really care about something, you dedicate yourself to doing it as best you can.
So dedication is definitely like a good value for, I feel like, anyone, and especially as our Mercy Girls. They're dedicated to living out mercy and to being that change in the world. So how do you live out mercy today?
Okay. I do feel like the mercy mission has been part of my life since I went to school here and then have worked here for so long. They are thoroughly instilled in me. The corporal and spiritual works of mercy mean something to me. Spending my whole career teaching at Gwinnett has kept that mission ingrained in me, and I do believe in it. Keeping in touch with my Mercy classmates is always fun. Always have memories to rehash. It's always a good time. And it's absolutely wonderful when I see a graduate who is now in a career, family life, and living their life adventure, and they always have such interesting and wonderful things to say about being at Gwinnett. So I know that Gwinnett mission is out there and it will stay there, and it's in me, so I'll keep talking about it too.
Well, and we haven't quite let you go too far, right? Because you still come back here and work at Gwinnett. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing currently with Gwinnett?
Sure. I have a couple times substituted for biology, and now I'm substituting for physics just for a few days here and there because of, you know, if teachers are out, if I can help offer, you know, even one or two classes and keep the momentum going. We just did momentum in physics, but keep that momentum going so the students don't feel like they're at a loss for class time. I'd be happy to do that.
And it's really helped. I had you for physics last period yesterday, and we did learn about momentum, and it's really nice to have a teacher who's really passionate and very engaging in the classroom to keep the momentum going when our teacher's out.
It's true.
Yes.
Thank you.
And so I'm sure you've inspired so many people to pursue a career in STEM because of how interesting it is. So if you had to give a piece of advice to someone who would like to go into the STEM field and also be a teacher, what would you give?
Follow your inspirations. Okay, my mom was an inspiration. My high school biology teacher was an inspiration. You get inspirations from so many different venues in life. Take those inspirations to heart. Follow your inspirations. Be as creative as you possibly can, because science is an avenue to make creations come to life. So go for it.
I love it. Well, thank you for being with us today. It's always so lovely to see you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so many inspiring words, so we appreciate it.
I really appreciate you doing this. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
It was lovely talking to you.
Take care. Take care.